B-Maz and Beamer. Now Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
Oh, it's almost Friday. Good morning, B-Maz and Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Joe Beamer with you. Brian Mazurowski on a much-deserved vacation. How's everyone doing out there? Enjoying the final weekend of August coming up here as summer winds down. What are you looking forward to? I mean, the obvious answer here in Western New York is football. I would say the answer probably around most of the country is football. I love football. I'm also looking forward to shorts and hoodie season, which lasts for about a month. You get away with still wearing shorts and wearing a hoodie. It's my favorite time of year. Christmas is my favorite time of year, but fall is right there. You know, it's a everything's, I don't know. But as summer winds down, looking forward to fall and everything, you're walking into Wegmans now. They have the fall stuff on the outside. You get a scent of fall as you walk into the store. But, you know, summer is still here. There is still time to take advantage of all you wanted to do this summer. Maybe you planned that last week of August vacation, and that's what you're gearing up to do next week. Whatever it is, you know, enjoy it. Most people at the first Bills home game, which is, you know, not till September 19th, but, you know, the first few Bills home games, which are, quote, fall, people are still getting sunburned. I know I've gotten badly sunburned at Bills home openers before. So, you know, there's still the summer weather hanging around. So don't move into fall mode too quickly just because football's back. But here we are on a Thursday on the radio. And, you know, driving around yesterday, there's something you always notice if you're driving on a street that is regularly crossed by people, by pedestrians, or if you're walking around something like a mall, or just walking anywhere pretty much now in general, you notice people are buried in their phones. No matter where you go, there are people buried in their phones. And you know, the cliche thing to say is, oh my gosh, it's, you know, all these teenagers and their phones, all these millennials and their phones. I realize millennials aren't teenagers. But let me say, it's all age groups that are guilty of being buried in their phones. It is not just teenagers. It is not just the younger millennials or the Gen Zers. Everyone is buried in their phone. And, you know, as someone, I wouldn't say I'm overly popular, but I talk with a lot of people. I am not texting that. There's no way you are texting that much buried into your phone for that long. You know, I talk with numerous people throughout the day, and I don't text as much as these people are buried in their phones. So my question is, what are you doing? What is so interesting on your phone that you can't look up and, I don't know, see where you're going? You know, you're in a crosswalk, buried in your phone. Is what you are looking at on your phone not going to still be there at the other end of the crosswalk? Now, I watch a lot of sports on my phone, right? I watch highlights on my phone. But if I'm crossing a street, I think I'll look up. If I'm walking around outside on a beautiful day in Western New York, probably gonna put my phone away. I don't need to be buried in it, right? Whatever's on my phone will wait for me. We have this thing called DVR now. You know, anything that's on your phone right now, it'll be there. It'll be there in an hour. It'll be there tomorrow. What is so important? I know I'm. It's Grandpa Joe here. I know I sound old saying this, but what is so important that you can't look up from your phone? You know, and you see this all the time. And like I said, this is not just a younger people thing. There are people out there in their 50s, their 60s, their 70s, and you're on your phone all day. Just be honest. You're on your phone all day. Now, I've looked at my screen time on my phone. My screen time is not fair, though, because I do a part-time job on my phone that my screen has to be open the entire time. So I don't think that's a fair measurement, but I have been guilty of doing just meaningless crap on my phone and not, you know, just enjoying what's going on. I am probably guilty of that more than I'm not, right? So I'm talking as if this is never me. No, this is me. I've been guilty of looking at my phone while walking through a crosswalk. Yes, I've been guilty of looking at my phone while walking through a crowded store, a crowded mall, and, you know, almost running into a fountain. Yeah, I've been very guilty of that. And there have been accidents caused because people are looking at their phones while driving. And it's just, what is so important? Again, especially for those who are driving and texting, we have voice to text now, right? Most cars have voice to text now. There is no reason to be looking at your phone. And again, social media, you know, most of those posts will be there tomorrow. Some people like to post something, get reaction, and then delete it. But most posts will be there tomorrow. So I just don't understand, and I'm part of it. I'm saying to myself, I don't understand. I get caught up in it, and I don't put my phone down. I get caught up looking at, you know, stupid stuff on social media. Twitter, I am just on way too much. I'm guilty of it. I'm very guilty of it. You know, and you go out to dinner and you see people that, I don't know, I'm guessing they're on a date, and they're just staring at their phone the entire time. You know, and again, I've been guilty of it. I can't tell you the amount of times my wife and I have gone out and the both of us are probably on our phones more than we're talking to each other. And that doesn't make it right. That makes me guilty of saying exactly what... It's funny. Have you ever done this? It's funny when you see something other people are doing and you know you do it as well, but you're annoyed at those people doing it. Happens all the time. And I get annoyed by people being buried in their phone, but then 10 minutes later, I'll be buried in my phone. I've been buried in my phone while hosting a radio show. It's not good. I'm not proud of it. But it does bring up a question. I want to know, at 803-0930, the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, 803-0930, what are you doing on your phone? What do you spend time on your phone so much doing? You know, I mean, hopefully a lot of you are listening on the Odyssey app. But that doesn't mean you need to stare at the Odyssey app while you're listening. But what are you doing? And I see this. Now, I am not guilty of it at this next one because, you know, I'm trying to get myself back in shape. But I see people at the gym just on their phone while they're working out. Now, I have two problems with that. If I get sweat on my screen, it screws it all up. And that just then gets annoying. And then when you're annoyed and working out, I just feel like it's not a good workout. But people at the gym, you know, yesterday, half the people on the treadmill were on their phone while they were walking the treadmill. I need to know what so many people are doing on their phone. And what has your phone, your smartphone, replaced? Because before smartphones, social media was really MySpace. Maybe Facebook was out, you know, a year before smartphones. But we didn't have all this social media. So compared to 15 years ago, what were you doing 15 years ago that now you take that time and put it into Facebook, Twitter, stuff on your phone? What are you doing now in 2020 on your phone that wasn't even around in 2004? Yes, I realize that's 16 years. Oh, no, that's 18 years. Wow, my math is awful. I realize that's 18 years. No, wait a minute. Is that 18 years? Oh, my gosh, it is. My math is not good. I've admitted. But we see so many people. And again, like I said, It used to be it was, you know, younger people on their phones, and oh my gosh, don't look up from your phone, right? That was every company came up with some kind of commercial to show, you know, the family sitting around and the teenagers buried in their phones. But it's everyone now. I've seen it in all age groups. All age groups are buried in their phones. What are you taking your time doing? And have you ever gotten upset with yourself when you look up at the clock and realize you've wasted half the day staring into your phone? I've had that feeling. Now, for me, I'm more likely to go down a YouTube rabbit hole than something on social media. You know, you start with a sports clip or, yeah, even political commentary. And then, you know, next thing you know, you're watching a victory speech from the 2004 presidential election. I mean, it just sometimes it happens. You just get so down a rabbit hole. You go, I'm not even interested in this. Why am I watching this? But what do you get caught up doing on your smartphone? And how is that different than what you were doing before a smartphone? You know, for me, before a smartphone would have been, you know, high school, early parts of college. And admittedly, I used a lot of my free time playing video games, watching endless amounts of TV. I would lie and say doing homework, but we both know that's a lie. You know, so I don't watch as much TV because now I'm on my phone all the time. But there's probably also things that, hey, you know, 18 years ago, I'd go out for a walk, I'd go sit outside, I'd turn on the radio. Now I have an app playing the radio and I'm scrolling all these apps. So what do you waste your time doing on your smartphone? But there is another side of this, right? There's another side of this. What has your smartphone actually helped you with through your life? Maybe now, you know, because of all the apps and, you know, you can get Microsoft, Google, everything on your iPhone, on your Android. Maybe you're able to do work stuff on your smartphone. Maybe you're able to do something for work that you weren't able to do outside of the office on your smartphone. You know, I mean, I think of all the gig workers out there, Uber, DoorDash, Grubhub, Lyft. I mean, those jobs wouldn't be possible the way they're done now without smartphones. And I'm sure there are a lot of people that, you know, they look at their bank account, they're very happy for the smartphone. It makes them money. There might also be people listening who have been fired because they can't get off their smartphone. I mean, is this, so there is good and bad, and I want to hear both of it. You know, what productive things do you do on your smartphone, and what do you sometimes after, you know, 2 hours feel guilty that you wasted all your time on your smartphone? And is it a form of addiction? Are people addicted to social media? Are people addicted to the stupid app games that, yes, I've also been, you know, Wordle, Hurdle. I do it every day. Every day. And then I kind of feel sad when it's over and I have to wait the next day for the new word. That's one that really got me. And, you know, if I can do it in two guesses or less, I'm very excited. But there's also, you know, the endless scrolling on Twitter. And it's funny, Twitter makes a noise on the app when you go to refresh it. And sometimes I'll have my phone connected to our soundbar and we'll be watching TV and you can hear the Twitter noise of me refreshing my Twitter feed, looking for something exciting to come across the Twitter feed. My wife will always comment on that. Oh, you're on Twitter. Yeah, I can't lie. And what app? Here's the one I want to hear from you. What app, I wouldn't hear all of it from you, but what app did you get so addicted to or just find out that it was nothing but toxic and you deleted it? You just got rid of it. You said, this is nothing but a waste of time, and it's actually making me enjoy life less. I'm getting rid of this app. 803-0930, star 930. And for parents out there with young kids, when do you give your kid a phone? I feel that answer has changed numerous times over the last two decades. Is there an age where it's unacceptable for a child to not have some form of cell phone? Maybe not a smartphone, but something where they can call their parents, text their parents, especially without a home phone now. Do you find the need for your kids to have a cell phone? Now, when I was younger, my parents still had a home phone, right? They don't anymore. They used to have a home. They still had a home phone when I was younger. And my first cell phone, I actually purchased. Then they put me on their family plan, and I couldn't tell you what the number of the phone that I purchased was. So there's good and there's bad. And I want to hear from you at 803-0930, the negative effects your smartphone has had on you, but the positive effects that your smartphone has had on you. And if tomorrow a ban on smartphones and it came into place and you had to go back to brick phone that just called, texted, and maybe had a few old cell phone games, what would you not be able to do that you do now every day on your smartphone? 803-0930, star 930. Also, what has your smartphone replaced? What have you been able to replace on your smartphone? Something you might have done before with a TV, on your computer, and now on a smartphone. What has it replaced? 803-0930, star 930. Those are the numbers to get on. You can also text at 803-0930. And for those of you that are buried in your phone right now and still listening, maybe you're on Twitter, you can also tweet at the Joe Beamer while we're talking about it. Tweet me at the Joe Beamer with the positives, the negatives. Could you do without it? And has it replaced something? I think for a lot of us, the smartphone replaced a majority of what we needed a home computer for. Now, still, I mean, obviously, if you do work from home, if you have a kid that needs to print a paper out, do they even print papers out now, or do you email it to the teacher? I don't know. But I'm sure a lot of people still have the need for a home PC or a laptop with a printer connected. But I don't think that need for a PC is where it was before smartphones. Because pretty much anything but print a paper out, you can do on your phone now. You don't need the PC. And what is the age that you feel kids need to have at least a cell phone? Maybe not a smartphone, but at least a cell phone. And if it is a smartphone, what kind of precautions do you take on that phone to make sure it's the safest it can be? 803-0930, star 930, that's the number to get on. Also want to remind you that if your garage door is ugly, come on, admit it, your garage door is ugly, you can enter Hamburg Overhead Door's Ugliest Garage Door Contest for your chance to win a brand new door from Clopay. A grand prize winner will be picked September 2nd. Enter by Sunday, August 28th. That is this Sunday at WBEN.com. It is Joe Beamer, B-Maz and Beamer, talking with you after this.
It's B-Maz and Beamer. Now Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
Welcome back. It is B-Maz and Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Joe Beamer with you. Brian on vacation. Hey, Bill Burr is coming to KeyBank Center on his slight return tour this Friday. That's tomorrow. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. Always thought Bill Burr was one of the funniest active comedians right now. And he will be at KeyBank Center tomorrow. Always happy to see, or interesting to see, I guess, comedians go from playing the clubs to playing arenas, right? I mean, Bill Burr obviously can do that. Kevin Hart has played arenas. Chris Rock, I think, does arenas. He could. I mean, Chris Rock could sell out an arena. Jerry Seinfeld obviously could sell out an arena. Seinfeld seems to do smaller theaters, though. Like, he's done Shays a few times. But he could, I mean, he could get a very good crowd still at the arena if he announced a tour tomorrow. You know, back when I was in high school, Dane Cook was funny for about a year, and he did an arena tour. So it's always interesting to see, you know, because I remember Bill Burr from back when he used to do old radio shows, and, you know, he was selling club gigs, and now at the KeyBank Center. Come on, that's awesome. 803-0930 is the number to get on. It's also the number to text if you would like to do so. And I'm asking you how your smartphone has changed you. What are the negative effects? And what are some positive effects, some productive effects? Someone text in, if it wasn't for my smartphone, I couldn't be listening to Beam As and Beamer. Well, then, obviously, thankful for the smartphone. Texter on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board brings up a good point. This is Sandy saying that people have forgotten to be by themselves. Now, I've seen this as well. Sandy says, when I see moms strolling their kids, moms are always on their phone. Talk to the kids, don't be on your phone. Very good point. To be fair, though, I've seen dads doing the same thing, right? Walking with their kid or walking their kid in the stroller and, you know, glued to their phone. I mean, I'm not a parent, so this is coming from a point of I'm naive in this. But I would feel if you're walking or strolling your child, I wouldn't even have headphones in, right? I mean, you want to be able to be alert of everything that's going on, everything around you, when taking your child out for a walk. That's how I feel. But thank you, Sandy, for the text. Another text says, good morning. My smartphone replaced a lot of my books. I'm a graduate engineer, and looking up a conversion formula or the equation is a lot faster. I still have the books, but I haven't touched them in ages. And I think we're seeing that more around, right? People are having digital copies of books, be it on a smartphone or on a tablet, which is really just a bigger smartphone that you can't make a phone call on. Or maybe you can. Maybe there's an app for that now that I'm not aware of. But we're seeing that. You know, the digital versions of books are very popular. I mean, look at Amazon. Amazon has a subscription service that you can, you know, get so many books a month. The library now has books, you know, digital that you can rent out and read on your phone, on your tablet. So I mean, I would say that changes it for a good thing. Everyone should be reading. Yes, I know I should be reading. So I think that's definitely a positive. And books on tape are a lot more popular now, I believe, than they were before smartphones, because you can just download a book. And, you know, again, Amazon has the Audible that you can, you know, get a full book on. And I mean, you know, I think smartphones have been really good for this industry, for radio. I mean, we've heard of so many people that are from Buffalo, don't live here anymore, and they listen to the station on the app, right? I think smartphones have been very good for the radio industry. You can listen to a show live still, right? Participate in the show. You can also listen to a podcast of the show or a podcast, you know, that's around something that you like. I think it's been very good. And so those are positives. But then again, we look at, you know, and there are some positives of social media, right? I mean, you'll always get the people, you know, they can stay in touch with, you know, friends from home, friends they went to school with that don't live in town anymore. I mean, there are positives. I don't always mean to go back to social media as all negative. I mean, I feel it's a lot easier to get news with social media, right? I mean, Twitter has really been, and now there's the negative of that, because a lot of fake news gets out because people have to rush to be the first to have big stories. And so with that, you get confusion, and then you have someone rushing because they want to point to their tweet saying that I'm first, and then it might not be factually accurate. So there's pros and cons of that as well. But it's not all negative with social media. I mean, there's a lot of people, influencers, who, you know, I mean, they make a living because of their social media. I wish I was that clever. I am not that clever. But, I mean, it has changed a lot of people in what they do for a living. Their living now is going around, you know, shooting TikTok videos, and they make a ton of money for it. I mean, good for them. You know, people can make fun of that. People can be upset, but you know, they figured something out that pays. Good for them. By the way, I saw this ridiculous stat today, and I want to share this with you because, I mean, this is just, this is a fantasy world. This is from thehill.com. One in four Gen Zers plan to become social media influencers. 25%. That you're not really an influencer after that. If 25% of Gen Zers become social media influencers, I don't think there's enough. I don't think there's enough companies out there to sponsor 25% of Gen Zers in their social media pages. I don't think that's going to be the payout you think. But the rise of social media has led to a new type of celebrity, the social media influencer. As the most popular influencers can make up to $1 million per sponsor, pursuing the job as a career is enticing to younger, tech-savvy generations. But it's not believable. I mean, when I was younger, you know, you could probably say one in four millennials wanted to do something of stature, right? Be an actor or actress, be on TV, be on the radio. 25%. That didn't work out. But I thought that was funny. So I wanted to throw that out there before I forgot. Back to the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, because we're also asking, what is an appropriate age for a kid to have a phone? Now, this does not mean have to mean smartphone. They do, believe it or not, they do still sell cell phones that aren't smartphones. Those are still out there if you look. But with the, you know, with most households not having a home phone now, is there an age where it is a necessity for a child to have some form of communication? And if it is a smartphone, what precautions as a parent do you take to make sure it's the safest it can be? It's another question we're throwing out there. And one of the texts was, my kids have Apple Watches. I can call or text them. It's a great way to keep in touch without them having a phone. So that's one way, is for them to have an Apple Watch, right? Which is probably controlled by one of the parents' phones. So the apps are controlled by the parent. That's a great way to do it. And you can text and stay in touch and even track where they are. And that's another thing we haven't even thrown out yet is smartwatches, right? They're on the rise. As you have Apple Watches, Samsung has a brand of watches. Garmin has watches. Fitbit, which I'm wearing right now. And there's a lot of positives to those, right? Fitbit is a great way. That's how I'm hopefully getting back in shape, by tracking everything through this watch. And if things, you know, if my health, if there's any issues with my cardiovascular health, it'll alert me. Those are positives. But then some of the negatives are, if I get a text, I don't have to reach for my phone. I can just look at my watch. And now I'm easily distracted all over again without even picking up my cell phone. You know, I think that's one of the huge negatives of the smartphone has to be just how easily people are distracted. And, you know, okay, it's annoying if someone is easily distracted in a conversation. And you can always tell when someone's not paying attention to what you're saying. But it's dangerous to everyone listening if they are distracted when behind the wheel of a car, right? It's dangerous if they're distracted while crossing the road. So there's annoying distractions, and then there are, you know, threatening distractions that threaten anyone that's around the person distracted. But you know, I don't mean to make it all sound like it is it's all negative, because it's positive as well. You know, I one of the things that I have on my phone that really is really positive is we have this Google Calendar my wife set up. Now I know things I've agreed to do, and she knows when I'm going to be out of town for Virginia Tech games. I mean, it works. Instead, there'd be a lot of confusion probably. because, you know, sometimes you just assume. That's the worst thing with me, is I assume that she always knows what I'm doing. She knows my schedule, you know. But, one, people forget sometimes. Two, I have been known to forget to communicate some information. So that is a positive of the smartphone. And I'm really interested. No one's answered this yet. And I'm really interested if anyone can answer this before the show's over. And that is, what did the smartphone replace for you? And not only what technology did it replace, but what did it replace when we're talking about time wasted on your smartphone? What were you doing with all that time in 2004? What were you doing with all that time in 1998 that now you waste on your smartphone? Maybe it's a phone game. Maybe it's social media apps. But what were you doing before the smartphone with that free time? Were you like me, just binging Seinfeld episodes on DVD? What were you doing with that free time that now you're wasting on your smartphone? Not to say you weren't wasting it in 2004. Not to say you weren't wasting it in 1998. But that free time that's now wasted on your phone, how are you using that 18, 19 years ago? I'd be very interested if someone has an answer for that. Someone says, I'm a school bus driver and have sometimes run behind schedule. There are children as young as 8 that have a phone in their book bag. And that's probably mostly smartphones. Someone said, television, computer stuff all got replaced by the phone. And that's true. I mean, you know, you have most people who still have cable. Their cable company has some kind of app that you can watch when you're on the go. All your streaming services on your phone. You know, again, that's good if you get to the airport too early and security's not as bad as you thought. Bad when you have a video playing while you're supposed to be driving a car, right? So pros and cons. This texter's bringing up when you're out and you see people on their phone. And it's, you know, it's two people, you assume they're on a date, or at least they're friends. They're out in person, and they're wasting that time in person by on the phone. Like, well, we could have done this over the phone if you were just going to stare at your phone the entire time. But like I said, I've been just as guilty of that. 803-0930, Jay is in Tonawanda. Jay makes a great point here. Hey, Jay.
Jay, what's going on, man?
Not much.
I will tell you, I used to run one of my old jobs. I was the territory was Maryland, Pennsylvania, Eastern New York, Western New York, all the way up to Vermont. And I my glove box was a library of maps.
Oh yes.
And I'll tell you, I haven't bought a map since the smartphone came out, and I haven't used a map since the smartphone came out. And with this new heads-up technology on all the cars and this Apple Play and Android CarPlay and all that stuff where everything's just instantaneous, you type in an address, boom, you're there.
Yes. Yeah, Jay, great point. I mean, remember when we thought MapQuest and printing out directions was revolutionary, but you're right. I mean, the GPS apps, it's funny you mentioned maps, though, because a week or so ago I went to a gas station and I saw a crate of maps, and I'm thinking to myself, those must have been there for the last 2 decades.
They probably had dust on them.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Jay, I appreciate the call. The GPS apps definitely are a game changer and very positive, because anyone in this audience who drove before smartphones got lost. No one in this audience over. I'm bad with math, but if you were driving before smartphones, you've gotten lost. I remember when I first started delivering pizzas at Lenovo when I turned 18, and you know that was before GPS on a smartphone. I didn't own a GPS unit because at the time a GPS unit was $1,000, and I would have to. There was this big map right by the driver's station, and I would have to look up the streets and then find it, and then remember how I got to that street. You know, there was no camera on my cell phone. And let me tell you, that was the number of times that I either had to take my cell phone on speaker, because there was no Bluetooth, and call the person, how do I get to your house? Or go to a gas station and ask them, because I was too cheap to buy a map to put in my car. I mean, numerous times I would get lost. Or sometimes I'd even have to call back to the pizzeria and say, yeah, I got lost. Can you guys remind me what street I'm looking for? And then there would be the streets that weren't there when they made the map. And you'd have to, you know, ask around, okay, what street, you know, does anyone here know the street I'm talking about? But yeah, the GPS apps, complete game changer. I'll tell you, did not have a GPS the October storm, okay, 2006. I had just started driving. And I have to say, my knowledge of where things are in Amherst is a lot to do with delivering pizzas for Lenovo, because I did not know my way around. I mean, anyone who drove with me before I delivered pizzas knew that I barely knew how to get back to my parents' house, okay? I mean, that's honest truth. And when I started delivering, you know, a few months later, we had the October storm. And I didn't know my way around. I didn't know anything. And I just remember taking the snow brush out of my car and having to brush off street signs because the snow that wasn't supposed to accumulate had accumulated on the street signs. And, you know, I remember I had one delivery in my car for almost 2 hours. And I was so, I'm so sorry. I got lost. You know, it was awful. But I, thanks to that, know my way around Amherst. And thanks to the delivery apps that I work part-time for now, when I lived in Orchard Park, kind of learned my way around the South Towns thanks to those apps. But with GPS, you don't really need to know. And maybe that's good or bad. How about if your cell phone dies and you don't have a charger? But with the GPS apps, very rarely do people get lost unless they put the wrong street in. You ever do this where you're supposed to go to something that's street and you looked up drive? That happens with Maple because you have the Maple here in front of the station, but there's also a Maple off of Transit near the Anchor Bar. And, you know, if you put the wrong Maple in, you're going way off course. Someone also says it replaced the Walkman. That's true. I mean, you know, the CD Walkman that used to always skip when you would try to run with it. I mean, all of that on your phone now. Hey, I appreciate you hanging out with me this hour. We will meet again tomorrow at 9 a.m. David Bellavia is next, and he has 4 hours of amazing programming, as always. Tom Bowerly at 2. By the way, Tom's discussion with the district attorney yesterday was awesome. If you missed any of that, you know, later tonight, I would say go check that out on the Odyssey app. It was really good stuff with District Attorney John Flynn. And then 6 o'clock, Tom Puckett wraps up the day. Looking forward to talking with you on a Friday. Have a great Thursday. We will talk tomorrow here on News Radio 930 WBEN.